Hi, I'm Anne. I'm a love, fantasy, intrigue, and validation addict.
And
thanks for having me at this meeting. It's a special one. And I'm going to jump right in and try to like qualify, set it up in 1 minute, because I want to focus on healthy partnerships, even though I might not be the most qualified to do that at this moment. But yeah, I'm married, and yeah, I want to talk about healthy partnerships, because like any good sex and love addict, my partnership is the whole wall, every brick in the wall. And that is what I'm pretty stuck on right now. But this is an improvement from being stuck on a man who was outside my marriage, my qualifier, when I came into this program. So I have, you know, worked through that obsession and let that go, and made amends to my husband about what happened. And we've been working on our marriage. And, you know, background on us really briefly is that we started in an affair. He was my married boss back in New York, and it was very toxic, you know, obviously like had the traits of a love addict. That's it. Okay. Being, you know, having no self-worth and like seeking someone totally unavailable. So fast forward, very toxic on and off period. And then 2 years later we got, in 2015, we got together, entered couples therapy, and 2 years later from that got married. And so it's been almost 9 years of marriage, and yeah, and a year and a half in this program, and I'm working the steps with a sponsor. I'm on step 11. I sponsor a couple people, and it's changed everything, changed my entire way of living, as promised, as the program promises. So it does work if you work it, so far in my experience, one day at a time. And so, yeah, I want to talk about like what my relationship was like before and some of the progress we've made and like where we are now, which, spoiler alert, not good. We are separated currently. We're in like a period of taking space. It might turn into a more formal separation. It's really hard. It's really challenging. And I know that my higher power is guiding it and has been guiding me and letting it unfold. And I keep getting checked by my sponsor and by higher power to just like not rush my way out the door if that's the way that I think in my self-will I see it going, but to like be present for what is. So there was the before time that I talked about with the affair, when it was just totally co-addicted and, you know, alcoholic and just really all the worst of any qualifying story that we've heard. And then there was this middle period, this like long bulk of the relationship, when we've been married and we've been in couples therapy, and it's been relatively healthy for like what I've experienced in my life. And, you know, there are ways that it's improved since I entered program and ways that I want more out of it. So the first thing is open and closed systems. So this is something the basic text talks about in the Healthy Partnerships chapter 8. At the end of the book, it spends a lot of time on like, you know, love addicted relationships are a closed system. There is no new energy coming from outside. It's just each partner needing to save the other and needing to be saved. And like, there's nothing, you know, there's no oxygen. Basically, you run out of fuel and supplies because you're not going from outside to get independent lives and energy and people to fuel you. So we had that. We definitely were a closed system. We worked together. Our career is very enmeshed. And just no, you know, like no activities outside of what we did together. We had community and friends together, but mostly we stayed home. We were kind of socially anorexic, and that was a little bit spurred by the pandemic. But yeah, since I've entered program, I obviously have a new fellowship that's opened up for me and have learned that like I get to have an independent life from this person. I can go out on a Saturday night and it does not need to involve him, and that doesn't have to harm the relationship. And by my doing that, you know, he didn't really like that at first at all. That was a big point of conflict, but he's come around on that. And slowly over the year and a half, he has gone outside and he has, you know, started working in a community garden, something that fills him. He has started taking improv classes and boxing classes and like doing these things that he just never did. So that has been a little miracle of program, and we are getting some energy from outside. Okay. Second thing is boundaries. I didn't know what that was, and I didn't have that. I didn't have any ability to set or enforce those. But yeah, they're like all about what do I need, and saying no, and saying, you know, I can't accommodate your request, even if that's going to hurt you or make you upset, you know, and like sitting with that inability to meet your partner's need. And then as a partner, like sitting with the inability for your partner to always meet your need. So yeah, we didn't have any, we were extremely codependent, and, since program, again, like I'm learning to set boundaries. The example I'll give is that I'm in Al-Anon now. He drinks and I don't. And we had this pattern of like, he would be drinking and it would be night. It would be getting later at night after dinner. And we would get into these intense conversations that really reminded me of my dad kind of overwhelming me and being too intense. And so, it dysregulated my nervous system. I could tell, and like, it was not good. And we would get into conflict that way. And so I began to set a boundary of, I'm not going to have these intense discussions with you when you're drinking or late at night. And that was really hard at first. He did not like it. And, you know, I with love, like, you know, reassuring him, I'm happy to talk in the morning or another time. I would step away. And through that, he has come around to like, okay, I accept that boundary and I respect it. And so we don't do that anymore. Okay. So that kind of leads into the next thing, which is like how we handle conflict and rupture, because this is just like something that's going to happen in every relationship. You can't ever, you know, evolve or progress out of it, but it's about how you handle it. And, yeah, how we used to handle it was getting into sort of shouting matches or like really aggressive conflict, or one or both of us shutting down and kind of freezing the other person out, not being willing to share our honest truth. And now when we get into conflict, I have this concept of emotional sobriety because of this program that allows me to breathe, pause, not knee-jerk respond to things. I now use the tool of reflective listening a lot, where I can say back to him what I just heard him say. And I could say, is there anything else? Or is that right? And he can affirm or he can add or whatever. But that kind of like calms initially, you know, just right out of the gate, like calms the situation. I now can pray and I bring in my higher power and ask them, give me the words in this conversation. This is really challenging. So I can bring all those tools. And one that is actually in the big book of AA is calling a moratorium when discussions get destructive. So like knowing like, hey, I think we're a little bit feeling intense about this right now. I'm dysregulated. Are you? Like, let's put a pause and talk about this another time. And we can now turn to essentially top lines. For me, a big one is outreach calls. I can make a call in that situation. He usually goes for a walk around the block. And like cools off, and then we can come back, and whether it's that night or like another time, we can pick up the discussion from like a more regulated and higher power focused place. So yeah, dealing with conflict has really improved, and I wouldn't say we fight anymore. We may have rupture, we may have some conflict, but it's not fighting in the same way that it used to be. And then another thing is, okay, there's trust I want to talk about at the end, but there's one more before that. Oh yeah, taking accountability. Thank you, 1 minute. So this is like the most important. If I don't get to trust, you know, it's 3 times in the signs of recovery, but it's so important. It's like the next frontier for me. But yeah, taking accountability is huge in the way I live my life now because of steps four through nine, you know, so like being in step 10 has really brought this all together, that like this is the partner that I want to have, someone who can handle their side of the street. I need to handle my side of the street and not deflect and blame, right? So before, we would just like be defensive, see the other person as at fault, and just like, you know, you never get anywhere with that. Now I can look at my own defects. I can know that I am not my defects. I can use steps 6 and 7 to ask those to be removed and just like keep the focus on me and what my higher power can like help me with. If that is a need to make amends, then I can do that process. And I have worked on that. So, this is where like, it gets a little sticky with him because he's not yet there. He's learning about emotional sobriety again, because of a miracle of this program. Thanks. And I'll wrap. But he's not there yet. And so, yeah, it's important to me to be with someone who is able to see their side of the street. Trust is the next frontier for me that I'm working on. And I see that like, because I've lacked self-love in my life, I really need to build self-trust and trust in a higher power. So yeah, I'll kind of leave it there, but it's really changed everything. And whether or not I'm going to continue in this relationship, I'm trying to not be attached to that outcome, but to let my higher power guide what they have for me there. And to do this like soberly and lovingly, no matter which way it goes. So Thank you, and I'm excited to hear what you all have to share today.